we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word, truths it contains to help us to understand our world and all that happens around us. Lord, we pray you would help us this day to gain a heavenly perspective of events, and just pray you would guide us, each of us, into your truth. Just pray your blessing upon us now, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the past couple of weeks, we've passed through some tumultuous times on the prairies. We've had some pretty significant storms in this area. We've had some people that have been hailed quite badly. And as well, we've heard the reports of those living near the various rivers that flow from the mountains through the prairies, eventually ending up in the Hudson's Bay, that there's been devastating floods to a level that's unprecedented in recent memory. And I think all of us probably have someone that we know that's affected by it in one way or another, family or friends. And we think of the times, the difficulties that they're going through, that many of them are homeless, their houses are underwater or washed away. That I know we think of the Goffs and just how it was moving there. They've only been there about a month and just kind of getting settled in and then being uprooted completely. That it's very difficult. And when events of such a scale occur, I think it always, for all of us, it tends to stop us in our tracks and just kind of get us to think a bit and just kind of ask a lot of questions of what happened. And we ask questions like that. Well, how did all this happen? Why did it happen? For those that are in the midst of these difficulties, they might ask, well, why did this happen to me? What am I going to do now? Will my life ever get back to normal? And for us that aren't immediately affected, we might ask, well, why did it happen to them and it didn't happen to me? Why was I spared from that? I know the hailstorms we had, that was how it was. It was very kind of scattered, that you'd have one person be hailed out and the other person wouldn't even be touched right next to him. And so it's always kind of wondering why one person gets hit and not another. And the question is, well, what would I do if I was in that situation too? Or we might ask, well, what can I do to help someone that's faced this devastation? And so with all these thoughts and questions that come up, it's necessary for us, I think, to try to sort them out, to see, okay, well, is this, we need to think, is this a good thought? Is this a thought that's a profitable thought, or a right thought, a thought that honors God and is helpful, or is it an unprofitable thought? That we could think, for instance, of someone that's in a situation like this, of worrying, that's not going to be a profitable exercise if you're thinking of kind of all the different things that can happen. It's, yes, there's a lot to worry about, but you kind of have to take it as it comes. If you can make yourself physically and mentally ill by worrying, and then you find out at the end that it actually isn't as bad as you thought, that it's simpler than that. And as well, that we can ask many questions and we can seek answers, but we realize if it is truly answers that we seek, that we need to turn our mind to the Scriptures. That God, of anyone, is going to have the answers to our questions. He's going to help us to make sense of things. And the Holy Spirit, as we look in the Scriptures, can illuminate our understanding and help us and guide us into all truth and understand the meaning of these events. And the passage that we've read this morning is one which I believe can be a help to us in many ways, no matter what situation we might be in. And its truths help us in this whole sorting out process. This passage, as well as others that we're going to touch upon this morning, helps us to see God's hands and God's purposes in all things. And often it shows us that the thoughts that immediately come to our minds may not at all be accurate. And that's kind of what we were talking about a bit this morning in Sunday school with going through the Psalms, is that sometimes David, he'll say something and it'll be what's on his heart, but then you get to the end of the Psalms and you kind of see his mind change, that he realizes that this is kind of what he thought, but then the Lord shows him something and he realizes this is actually how it is. And so we want to kind of follow that path ourselves. And for instance, we can think of different thoughts that we might have. If we see devastation or difficulty happen to someone else, but it missed us, that our initial thought may be, well, I'm so thankful that it didn't happen to me. And I think all of us, we should be thankful for things that happen, but I don't think any of us want to have this kind of thought coming up, well, better them than me. That's not something that we would say would be a correct way of thinking. As well, sometimes we think if someone goes through a great difficulty, a great devastation, part of us wonders, well, is this God's judgment on them, or are they being punished for something? And honestly, that isn't something that any of us can really judge accurately. Even though we might be convinced that we can. We can think of Job's three so-called friends of Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar who came to Job in his misery of all that he had faced. And they more or less said, well, this has happened to you, Job, because there must be some sin that you've committed. And God is punishing you for that sin. And so you need to fess up, you need to ask forgiveness, you need to do right, and then everything will be rainbows and marshmallows once again. And of course that's not their exact words, but that's kind of the gist of what they're saying. It's like this, just bad things happen when you do bad, and so if you do good, everything's going to be good. And that's kind of the thing we see with Job, that he had to try to tell them, guys, I haven't done anything wrong. I don't understand what's going on, but I can't find any sin that I've committed that brought this on me. And we know, kind of seeing the bigger picture, reading the first couple chapters, we know that there's something else going on much different than what anybody else would think. And that's the thing, that Job's three friends were convinced of his wrong, but they were the ones that were in error. And so we want to be very careful in doing that. And as well, that if something devastating happens in our life, we might think, well, God is punishing me for something I've done. And we quickly try to do a mental scan of our lives, just try to think, well, what brought this on, that we kind of think that? Well, it must be something that I've missed. And it's kind of the thought that there is a chastening of the Lord that happens in our lives as believers, but usually it's not a big mystery that the Lord kind of brings it to our attention, because he doesn't want us to just kind of stay in a place. It isn't like, I'm going to make you have this big guessing game of what you've done wrong, I'm still going to keep punishing you till you get it. Usually it's a lot clearer than that when it happens. But it's kind of the thought is that when we have something bad happens, we want to, if there is something we've done wrong, we want to confess it. And because what we want to have everything smooth sailing without any problems. We want just whatever it takes to make that happen. That's what we want to do. But the thing is with a lot of those thoughts, that they're really kind of an oversimplification and actually a misrepresentation of who God is. That we can almost tend to think of God as almost like a vending machine, where it's like we do good works, we put good works into the machine, and we're going to get good things back. And we figure that that's what's going to happen. We live a good life, we treat people good, and we expect happiness and comfort and prosperity in return. That it's almost like the kind of Eastern idea of karma, that's what we think works. And that's not really, we understand, has any basis in the scriptures, this idea of karma. It's actually Hinduism. It's something totally different. But it's kind of the idea that we think that I do good, good's going to come back to me, and if good doesn't come back to me, then it's kind of, well, I must not have put enough good in the machine, or something must be wrong with the machine. And the thing is, it's that isn't right thinking at all. God is, we can't try to simplify God in that way. That's not correct thinking at all. And secondly, that we don't want to get this idea that something bad happens to somebody, that it must have been because they deserved it. They did something that caused it. Because really, if you think about it, if God gave all of us exactly what we deserved, we would all be wiped off the face of this earth. That none of us deserve anything from Him. It talks about that in Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. That we don't want to go there of what we deserve, because that's sometimes what we find, that when we kind of treat people and have attitudes towards people in certain ways, that a lot of times the Lord kind of allows us to sort of see how it feels. He kind of shows us the same way. When we don't want to forgive someone, then He's not as forgiving to us, and other things like that. And it just, we want to be wise in that. That really, it's too simplistic to try to put it in that perspective. But thirdly, we want to realize too that just as good things can happen to both righteous and unrighteous people, so can bad things happen to both unrighteous and righteous people. That it says in Matthew 5, verse 45 of the Lord, that He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And so it's the same thing too, is that when devastation happens, that it can happen to the just and the unjust alike. That in the reports of flooding, that we don't hear reports where you have this whole neighborhood that's flooded, but there's a few houses that are miraculously spared from that flooding, that's where the Christians live. That's not what happened. That's not what we've seen. That everyone is affected the same. And there's a reason for that. And we're going to get to kind of understanding some of that reasoning for that. But it's, as well, we want to understand, in any event that happens, whether we view it as something that's good or something that's bad, that we have an obligation, especially as believers, to draw nigh to God, no matter what it is. Whether it's a good thing, whether God has blessed us, we should draw nigh to God in gratitude. Whether something devastating has happened, we should draw nigh to God because we need His help through that difficult time. That it is sad that we would think, well, God has to send bad stuff into our lives to get our attention, because He should have our attention all the time. And it shouldn't just... And of course, we understand human nature, that a lot of times when we're greatly blessed, that we forget the One that has blessed us, and we totally forget God. And He even warned that of the children of Israel. He said, beware when you enter into the land and you have all these blessings, beware lest thou forget God. But it is something that we want to realize, that no matter what situation we're in, that we should be drawn to the Lord, that He should have our attention, and we want to learn from Him. We want to seek after Him to help us through it, whether good or bad. That whatever we go through, that we realize that He has a plan and purpose in all of it, and we want to be connected with Him so we are aware of His workings and we're aware of what He's trying to accomplish. And as well, that any time we might go through a devastating event, we might ask, well, has God forgotten me? Is He not in control? Doesn't He care about what I'm going through? And the answer to all those questions is absolutely not. He has not forgotten us. That it talks in the place that of His people, that He's engraven us upon the palms of His hands. That He said, shall a mother forget their baby? And He says, well, they may forget, but yet will I not I forget. That isn't what He does. He knows exactly what we're going through, and it isn't something that sort of, He's so busy with all the affairs of this world that things kind of spin out of control, that it was sort of, He was trying to prevent some storm from happening, and this other storm kind of kicked in, and that's not how it happens at all. That He is always in control. He everything happens for a reason. It talks about in the book of Nahum of how the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm, the clouds are the dust of his feet, that he is not a small God that is trying to hold the world together, that he's a big God that holds the world in his hand, that he is all-powerful and that he is looking after things completely. But then when we think of that, we think, well, God's in control and this devastating thing happened. Well, then it's his fault. Why did he do this? Why did he allow this to happen in my life when he could have prevented it? But again, we need to start sort out our thinking on these things as they truly are, and as the Bible reveals it to be. And in terms of this, we think on the one hand in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 of how it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." And what's that referring to is that our earth, because of the curse of sin that is upon it, is itself convulsing in a reaction to the sin of mankind. And the more sin that's perpetrated, the more it convulses. And so that's not something we totally understand. It's not something I think that we could maybe even scientifically quantify or anything like that. But we see that's what the scriptures speak of, is that the world itself is affected by man's sins. And as well, we think that with the recent devastation that many have faced, most of it came because of the rain. And did it always rain upon this earth? No, until the flood in Noah's day, it never rained at all. That rain was first sent as a judgment on the sins of mankind. So in some ways, when all the various natural disasters happen, we tend to, well, it's all God's fault. And it's like, well, we bear some of that responsibility ourselves as humanity. That's what we let in when we let sin into this world. That our world convulses under our sin, and we bear the brunt of that. But on the other side, we recognize that God does oversee and direct things, that he has the ability to stop things from happening and avert disasters. We talked about that as well this morning in Sunday school, of how he compasses us about as with a shield. And as Job had talked about, that the Lord had put a hedge about him, that Satan couldn't attack him. And when things happen, we know God could have averted it. He could have stopped it from happening, but he let it through. He actually ordained for it to happen. We have to wonder, well, why did he do that? What is his purpose behind it? And he does have a purpose. And it's not because he is cruel. It's not because he is uncaring or vindictive. We know that he is a God of holiness, a God of love. But we want to understand that his goal for us is much greater than the here and now. That we're concerned with the now, we're concerned with being happy and comfortable and prosperous and everything going good in this life. But God wants to prepare us for the life that is to come. And he wants to produce Christ's likeness in us. That he has a different agenda than our own, and we hope God will conform his agenda to ours, but we have to realize we need to conform our agenda to his. And it talks about in Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And that's the thought. When things happen, we sometimes think, well, God's kind of out to get me. He's just trying to almost destroy me. That the hand of God is heavy upon me. But we actually realize that his thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace, not of evil. Give us an expected end. He wants to get us to a certain place, a good place in our life. And we might have to go through some difficult things to get there, but it is part of his plan, and we want to trust him in that. That we tend to interpret God's character in light of the events that he allows to occur in our lives. And we say, well, this happened. I don't think that was a very nice thing, so God's not a very nice God. But instead, we need to learn to interpret events that occur in our lives and other lives by God's character. That we know that he's holy and compassionate. We know that he is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-wise. He must have a very good reason for all the things that he allows to happen. And we want to consider at least some of those reasons as we contemplate this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 more carefully. And so as we look in this passage, 2 Corinthians 4, to find the answers that we seek, we want to focus specifically on verse number 17. Verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And so what this is saying is that whatever affliction or trouble or difficulty we find ourselves in, even if we look at it as being so great and so bad, God wants to use it to work in us and for us something spectacularly good. It sort of has a sense of a balance that the affliction is on this one side, and the weight of glory that affliction produces in us on the other side, and that the glory side is way down, the affliction is up much higher. And that sounds really good on paper, but for someone who has just had their whole crop hailed out, or who has had their whole house and all their possessions ruined through the flooding, the present affliction doesn't seem to be all that light, does it? That it seems to be very heavy. It seems to be so heavy that it'll crush them. And so for someone to say that, well, for the glory to outweigh this affliction, it must be pretty amazing. It has to be pretty substantial in order to tip the balances. And I want to assure you that it is. And as it says here, that it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That it's not just an exceeding weight of glory, not just a more exceeding weight of glory, but a far more exceeding weight of glory. And we want to understand that and appreciate that. And in the time we have left, I just want to touch upon a few of the good things that God can produce in us through affliction. First of all, going through afflictions such as these helps to provide us with perspective, to help us to gain an actual scale of things, so that instead of thinking, well, poor me, that instead we realize how much we actually have to be thankful for. Out by Glidden there, that we had some hail last week and a fair bit of rain. Part of our garden flooded again. And I remember just the feeling I had when I woke up to the hail hitting the roof, and I just was like, oh no, everything's going to be wrecked. And it's like there's no point going out because it's dark, and of course you're going to get hurt by the hail, and so you just figure, well, go back to sleep and you'll see what the damage is in the morning. And so I went out, and surprisingly I found that things weren't really damaged at all. It was just small hail, and pretty well everything was fine. But it was kind of, for myself, through that week, it was like every day kind of heard about somebody else and what they were facing, and kind of seeing in comparison to what we faced, and saw how light our affliction was. That I was working in Marengo, and GMAC was having a customer appreciation day, and one of the guys said, oh, you should come over, they got free hamburgers. So I went over and enjoyed myself, but all the farmers were there eating, and a lot of them were telling about different devastation that they had. That we had some hail and some rain, some flooding, but some of these farmers, their whole crop and even their house and everything else. And Curtis has been going out as kind of seeing some of the places that have been hit by this hail that were just totally devastated. And it's the thing is that that didn't happen to us where we were, and so you really feel for these other people that have been faced by that. But then it was like the next day we heard on the news of all this flooding that was happening in Calgary and Lethbridge and High River, people that we knew that were having to leave their homes, that not even having time, it happened so quickly, it wasn't like they were able to get a load of their precious possessions on their vehicle so they could get away. It was basically the floods were coming up, and they came with either combines or front end loaders or whatever they could get to deliver people from this flooding, that they basically only escaped with the clothing on their backs. That you think of just the huge scope of that and how they were faced with that and just how difficult that would be. But then that same week, there were reports that, yes, there was flooding in Western Canada, but there was also flooding in India that same week. And in the flooding in India, over 200 people died. And so you think in terms of perspective, it's like, yes, people lost possessions, lost many things, but not many people here lost their lives, because there's that infrastructure there to kind of help them. There are people in India that just, families just wiped out by this flooding. But it's with each of them, it gets kind of a thing that we kind of think our affliction is so heavy. But yet compared to other people, no, it's actually light. It's not as big as we think that it is. And it helps to give us that perspective. And as well, we realize that the things that we go through, they don't last that long. As it talks about, Paul says, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment. And that's the thing, is that even though we have dark days, that brighter days come. That even for the people in these places that have been affected by the flooding, that the water is going to recede. Assurance, as long as they don't go bankrupt, will be able to fix their homes eventually. And life is going to get back to normal eventually. And it's not an easy thing, but we know that there's that expectation. And that's what we want to realize, that difficult days don't happen forever. And we want to see that Paul, talking about that and referring to our affliction as being a light affliction, it's not that he's minimizing difficulty, it's putting it in the proper perspective and the proper place in our lives. And in actuality, when you look at 2 Corinthians 4, the context that Paul is actually speaking of is in terms of persecution. And that he talks about how he was being affected by it himself. And that's something that none of us really have ever really faced full on. And we know that there's many other places in this world where people are faced with that. That people don't have to worry about losing their homes by flooding. It might be that their homes or churches are bulldozed down by the government because they don't have that freedom to meet and worship as we do. And we see Paul talks about in verse 8 and 9 of that chapter, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." And when we think of all that is recorded of Paul of having happened to him, and he actually kind of gives a list of that in verse 24 of 2 Corinthians 11. He says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." That we see this list, and that's a pretty heavy affliction to bear, but Paul says that it's a light affliction. And so it gives us a perspective. And we see with Paul that he was glad to go through those things for the sake of others, that others might hear the gospel, that it was, and so with us, as we think of that, we haven't faced persecution ourselves. We have not yet resisted unto blood, as it talks about in Hebrews. So we are blessed and beyond what we think, that isn't something that we should look down on things. We should actually really appreciate what we have and gain a true perspective of our troubles. But furthermore, when we go through affliction, it helps us to see as well what is truly important. Many have lost all their possessions, but the fact that they are still alive themselves, that they still have each other, that's what truly matters. I know I have a cousin who lives in High River, and she the floodwaters were rising, and her son was working at the co-op grocery store, and so she drove to get him because the waters were already coming there. She parked her vehicle, walked to get him, and as they're coming back to the car, it was already underwater, and so she had to walk home. And they made it home, but then soon they had to be evacuated. But yet it was something on her Facebook. She was so thankful that as a family that they got out together and that none of them were lost. And that's the thing, is that that's what's truly important. It's not the possessions that we have. It's each other as families and as people. And a lot of times we forget that we focus too much on possessions. I remember some years ago when I rolled my car, I felt so bad about it, but I remember the insurance adjuster saying, as he pointed to the car, he says, "All this is replaceable. You're not." And it's a perspective that's important to have and to regain and to be reminded of, because Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for the abundance of a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And we forget that we think, well, that's all what life's about. It's like kind of whoever has the most stuff is the one that has the greatest life, the most successful life, the most blessed life. And we want to realize all that stuff we have is just stuff. That we enjoy it, we should take good care of it, be good stewards of what we've been given. But when it's taken from us, that we don't mourn its loss. That it's just something that I had for the time, Did I come into this world? We can't carry anything else out. Those things aren't nearly as important as the people around us. As Paul stated in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." And that's trying to learn that and understand that it is not something that we need to have difficulties and devastation come to our life to teach us that lesson, but sometimes it is helpful to have that reminder to see what's truly of value. That we cherish each other, we cherish our families, that we focus on them and not on just the things of this life. But finally, and most importantly, when tragedy and affliction and devastation occurs, it works in us as God's people a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, in that it gives us, as God's people, an opportunity to shine. When difficulties occur, it can bring out the worst in us, but it can also bring out the best in us. And difficulties show us what we're truly made of, what our metal is. And I mentioned before of how sometimes we've seen the past week that God sends devastation on the just and the unjust alike. And you don't see the homes of the righteous spared and the homes of those we would say would be unrighteous devastated. That all are affected the same. And we ask, well, why would God allow that to happen? It's so that his people will be noticed in how they respond to the tragedy. That where others might panic, others might do wrong, that God's people have the opportunity to stand up and do what is right, to make a difference in others' lives and become a channel of God's blessing. That it's a thought as believers that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when such a tragedy as this occurs, it provides us as believers an opportunity to tangibly and practically show that love to our neighbors. That we see they have a need. What can I do to meet this need? And as well, you think of in a big city that even though you have neighbors, that generally you don't know who your neighbors are. That there's naturally kind of in a city an anonymity built in. But when a tragedy like this happens, it actually, that anonymity is broken down, that everybody needs help, and so you start to have the opportunity to connect with each other, to be as we should be, of caring for our neighbor, loving our neighbor, helping one another. And so, in that respect, that it can be a blessing in that it enables us to get to know our neighbor, to know their struggles. Because you think about it, that we can have someone next to us that lives close to us that might be going through great trial and great hardship and great sorrow, and we can be completely oblivious to that. And as Christians, we don't want to be oblivious to that. If someone's going through trouble, we want to be able to help them. We want to have that awareness. And with anything, when trouble happens, it sometimes when it affects all of us together, that we get kind of an opportunity to see into other people's lives and see their need and see that we can be a help to them. And I was listening to the radio Friday morning before I started getting this message fleshed out, and John Gormley was talking about all these different people that were stepping up and helping with all this flooding, that there's different oil field guys that were coming with their trucks to pump out homes. There is people making donations. He called it a benevolent anarchy, that it wasn't like anything was actually controlled. Nobody was directing it, just people felt that they could do something and they stepped forward, and it wasn't for any kind of attention. It was just, what can I do to help these people that have suffered in these times of tragedy? And that's something that we can think about, that as God's people, that we can do that, that we can step in and we can do what we can to help people. That's when difficulty happens to someone else, we don't want to think, well, with all these thoughts, well, maybe they deserved it. Sometimes we even think, well, if this person's being judged, I almost want to stay away from them because maybe the judgment's going to hit me, kind of ricochet off of him kind of thing. But the whole idea is, it's like, no, this is an opportunity to help this person. They're down, their life has been turned upside down, and I have what they need as a believer. I can be a blessing to them. I can share with them God's love. And as well, we can think of it in terms of the furtherance of the gospel, that as people are in great need, and as we as God's people help them in their time of great need, that opens up such an opportunity to build relationships, to share God's love, and later share the gospel, that even as believers, that as we go through such difficulty as well, that sometimes if something happens to someone else, we don't want to have that thought of better them than me, that as a Christian we almost want to come to a point of saying, well, better me than them. That it's like, I can go through this difficulty because I have God with me. They don't. And so, Lord, I'm okay with allowing these tragedies, these difficulties to happen to me, because it can be an opportunity for me to be a testimony to other people. And I remember with Brother Tom that was actually something that he said, that as he was going to the hospital, that he actually hoped that he would suffer for a while because he wanted to give a testimony of the Lord even in suffering. And just the thought of that is just, we avoid suffering at all costs. But understanding that God can have that purpose even in suffering, that we can be used to be a testimony to other people. And so in all this, that we want to recognize that disasters, difficulties, and afflictions, they happen, and they happen for a reason. And it's usually not at all for the reasons that we think. Circumstances can seem so bad in the moment, but God is greater than all circumstances. And He is wise and powerful enough to bring great and glorious things out of the darkest of circumstances. And that's sometimes, I think, that we see something that is so bad and we wonder, well, there is just no possible way that God can bring any good out of this at all. But yet, again and again, God proves us wrong. That something that is so dark, that He can bring great light out of it. That something that seems such a heavy affliction, that it is completely minimized with the goodness and the exceeding eternal weight of glory that He wants to produce. And so may the Lord help us all to see the truth of this verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we realize that the afflictions that we face, that they're only temporary. They may seem big now, but they will only grow small in the light of the exceeding eternal weight of glory that God will produce in us through them if we allow Him to do so. As Paul stated in Romans chapter 8, In verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so may we presently endure affliction and suffering, knowing that one day it will be entirely worth it. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it illuminates our lives, help us to make sense of all that swirls around us, and we just pray you would help us to draw nigh to you and to seek the answers that only you can provide. And just pray you would help us as your people to be a help to those in need, and just do what we can for your glory, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's stand and we'll turn to hymn number 370. We'll sing one more hymn. Number 370, Count Your Blessings.